welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 332. I'm Adam, and it's an example of the Blimovich limitation effect. And here's Indeed. Debbie Melrose.
No one can withstand the power of the Daleks.
Andy Nunny.
Oh, I'm going to have lost it.
I don't remember that being in it.
yes, that's a most good-humoured wine. A touch shadow, perhaps, but not cynical. Yes, a most civilised wine. One after my own heart.
Yeah, well, enough about the wine, Andy. Can you actually do a quote from the show, please?
Yeah.
Okay. Mary Lang.
Rank has its privileges.
Thank you for that. And we have Kirby at last, just so hope that everybody else used up all his possibilities for quotes. Kirby.
No complications.
Oh, that's a shame.
Ooh, that was a short one for you.
That's what she said.
That one just stuck out because it was...
Oh, did it now, Kirby? Oh, that
those two Ogrons were
I bet they were.
To the controller.
I love that, yeah, no complaints.
And one of them was going
on as if we're not catching him at his own words.
Yeah. One of the Ogrons was doing his old grunting. The other one simply says, no complications.
It's the way he says it, though, because he's like, there was no trouble, sir. It's the same guy, and he goes, was there any complication? No complications. I love that.
Right, this week, listeners and viewers... five of them will be looking at Day of the Daleks. The Daleks are back
again.
In colour. Woohoo!
Yay!
Now, there's only 5 years.
There's some interesting things to point out in regards to the build-up to this particular story. One, they had to sort of sweet-talk Terry Nation into allowing Louis Marks to write this tale.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. They took him out for dinner. They gave him a few drinks. That's and then no, Terry Nation no, gave him a few pointers. No, yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Master.
Go on then, Master, give me some incorrect facts.
That is the memory of
Barry Letts. Barry Letts?
Terrence Dix. That's Terrence Dix remembering things incorrectly.
Oh, did
they? They actually had made the arrangements way ahead of time, expecting a Dalek story.
Right. No, it's because the reason that there was the boss of BBC One at the time was a massive Dalek fan, and he insisted that Doctor Who brought back the Daleks.
Yes, I know that you watched the extra where they said that, but that is.
Are you trying to tell me that the are you trying to tell me that the info text is wrong on this? Are you?
Yes.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm just going to say that Scott Erlandson talking over my commentary. Scott Erlandson has joined. The viewership's just gone back down to two again. That was a shame.
Oh, dear. That was all the bickering, that was.
It wasn't bickering. It was me trying to put Kirby in the correct place. We go by our info text, don't we, everybody?
Yes.
Okay, right. So, yeah, like I say, I won't go back to the beginning. Yes. BBC are quite keen on bringing the Daleks back. Unfortunately, there are only three Daleks left that they could use in this story.
I beg to differ.
What? Oh, God.
Three and a half
yes,
Daleks.
That's right. There's a half
Dalek. So when they did a Dalek explosion.
There's a half somewhere.
Yeah, that was the half Dalek, the one that when they did the explosion.
One thing I can tell is you've started watching InfoText.
Certainly because I have already written the questions on the previous occasion, so I don't have to watch it for that purpose, so therefore I can watch the InfoText.
I know I've watched this before with you. This was one of my first purposes.
Yeah, the first ones.
Mm. And I deliberately didn't go back and listen to it. Because I didn't.
Okay. Now, did anybody watch? I watched the original broadcast version, not the the redo with
I watched the original.
Nick Erlers
Briggs. I watched the original.
Yeah. Because when I've got
even
two
I've
versions.
Even though I've got both discs, I watched the original.
I don't know which one I watched. I just watched what I found.
Well, you'll know which one it was, because if the Daleks sound like Nick Briggs's Daleks, you watched the sort of revamped version.
Oh, no, definitely not Nick Briggs' voices on these.
Also, if you watch it the Doctor kills an Ogron, it's the old one. If the Ogron disappears from a shot to one side, it's the new one.
No, then I saw the old one, because definitely not Nick Briggs. voicing
I saw the one where it was different voices, definitely not Nick Briggs.
And they shot a few new scenes as well. Right.
Mary, did you find it really difficult to find the last episode?
No, but there was there were multiples of the other episodes, I did only find one copy of the fourth episode.
Because I'd obviously gone down different road for each of the other three, and then I couldn't find number four until about 5 o'clock this evening.
You went down St. Mary's Road and not Granville Road, or what?
Yeah.
All you have to do, if you want to go down the correct road, is go around the corner and borrow it from someone.
I'm not being funny, Deb. I've just explained that I have a disc with two versions of the story on. One has the original soundtrack. The other one has Nick Briggs and a slightly revamped and a few extra scenes added. You could watch that one. It's the same grimming story.
And the fourth one was done by a completely different uploader than the other three.
Yeah, exactly. It nearly got to the point where I'd said to Tom, right, I'm going to go away for a minute and I'm going to come back and find it. If not, I'm actually going to go round to Adam's.
There you go. And I had this story watched by Tuesday, so you could have watched it all Wednesday, Thursday and Friday.
No, I'd had most of it watched, and then I'd worked quite solidly. I'm going to watch it today.
I watched it last night.
Right. So let's begin. Episode one begins with the title sequence.
Really?
And a bit of a diddly-dum. Although I did notice at the end of one of the episodes, it didn't end in the... at the end of the titles, at the end it just faded out like it used to do in the 60s.
And the beginning of another episode, you hear the end of the previous
sting,
episode.
Yeah, the sting comes in.
Twice that happened, actually, that's just, Kirby.
And they also played it the editing. When he saw the Dalek in the tunnel. They played that sting, It's kind of weird.
So, it's an old sort of house with a stuffy old gentleman who gets spooked out by some mercenary threatening to murder him and then disappears. And he has a bit of a funny turn.
Does a bit, doesn't it?
Yes. And the Brigadier is informed, obviously, that there's been a bit of an intrusion at Sir Reginald's house.
Oh, I should have used that quote. I should have used the quote, "Yes, Minister."
Yeah, nice one. Meanwhile, the Doctor is still trying to fix his dematerialization circuit, but the TARDIS console is once again out of the TARDIS and in some...
Why?
Why?
So because they've used the TARDIS already.
Yeah.
Is this the first multi-Doctor story? This is the first time they have two Doctors in the same story.
No, we've had doppelgangers and stuff like that, and in previous Doctor Who stories, both Doctors. Yes.
No, actual Doctor though, rather than doppelganger.
Yeah, exactly. It's the first time we've had the same Doctor twice.
Possibly.
Yeah, I think so, because there's doppelgangers with William Hartnell and Patrick Troughton, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's not the same Doctor.
I thought there was another scene like this one where they, where the third Doctor came in like this.
When?
Before, I don't know, I'd have to look back.
No, I don't think there is. But yeah, so like Andy was alluding to, the door, this is why they had the thing out of the TARDIS, because obviously they felt that they couldn't redo this scene inside the TARDIS, with the doors swing open and the Doctor and Joe are looking in and they have a conversation with them because there's a sort of time skip thingy. I presume this happened while the Doctor and Joe are actually travelling through the time vortexy thing.
Master?
At some point later on in the story. Yes.
They did intend to tie this back in to the story by having them... It was scripted for them to show up and see the scene from the other perspective at the end, but they ran out of time.
I was hoping
I was hoping that they would, tie that in somehow.
Yeah, it was a bit pointless having it in there, really, for that thing. But, I mean, we can just assume that... they were. Yes?
Because of the way that they film these things, they thought they'd be able to do it. But 2 weeks later or whenever, they just couldn't. They were no longer doing recording one episode per week. By this point, they were doing two episodes per week.
Oh, there you go. And also, this is the first story to be fully sort of kept on video, so the picture quality is holding up quite well. I noticed as well.
Although that CSO backdrop in that scene is just so bizarre. And if you look closely, it's several inches gap at the bottom of the CSO yellow screen because they didn't measure things properly. And there was even an argument on set from the set decorators and the cameraman and the director, why didn't you get a yellow screen that was large enough for the opening?
Okay, thank you very much. So, yes, so the doctor, basically UNIT head towards Sir Reginald's house and have a conversation with him, and he denies all knowledge of what he's
actually No, I didn't.
I woke up, I had a nightmare, that sort of thing.
No, it wasn't.
No.
The doctor finds a dead mercenary and a futuristic weapon.
He's getting better.
And then we meet the controller. Apparently, the chair that the controller's sitting in was a readily available product for anybody could buy at the time. So I just thought we'd drop that one in there. And of course, we meet the Ogrons for the first time. And Reginald Stiles is
no
still
complications.
Still sort of going on about the UNIT team are sort of getting in the way, and he's got a very important job to do. The whole world peace, you know, depends on him achieving what he needs to achieve in this meeting. Meanwhile, the mercenaries are sort of wanting to go back and murder him, so because apparently something he did made the Daleks in charge, and ultimately in the future. We got a lot of this. The female sort of background actors just sort of moving their hands backwards and forwards across.
Yeah, that was
tables.
Weird. I mean,
they had no
screens, no screens, no nothing. I mean, how are they telling what they're doing?
Yeah.
But it was very strong female actors, wasn't it?
The only thing I liked about that is that there was these sort of silvery tinfoil cover.
There was loads of fingerprints
all over this seal, which ruined it a little bit. But I did like the fact that you could see the speaking part actress, because obviously all the other actresses didn't have speaking parts. You can see her reflection, her facial reflection in that. Bearing in mind that camera side, the face wasn't particularly well lit, so on the other side it was. So I quite like that aspect of it.
Debbie, what you were observing is, yes, they had put a metallic sheen on all of the people working there.
They had indeed, including the controller.
Also, yes, and they also had silver nail polish.
Yes,
all
I
of them, including the controller.
Hmm. They were all of them were a bit orangey, weren't they? A bit like a David Dickinson, or also possibly the UFO. Do you remember Jerry Anderson's UFO series?
It's been so long since I saw that.
Yeah, they were all very shiny, weren't they?
Anyway.
I know what you mean, yes.
So, the Doctor and Joe. the Doctor and Joe have decided that while Reginald Stiles goes off to some foreign country somewhere, they're going to have a night alone in the house where the Doctor can eat Gorgonzola and drink wine.
It's a lovely cellar, yes.
Meanwhile, Joe is really scared.
I feel like going out and getting some Gorgonzola when we're done.
Oh, yeah, I want some now.
Joe's quite scared.
Oh, no, rather. Nice bit of Stilton, sorry.
Never mind, shush. He's a bit scared for no reason whatsoever.
Jesus, I've got downstairs.
And then Benton turns up and hoping, because he's really hungry, because UNIT don't feed their soldiers. So Joe goes and nicks some crackers and some cheese for him. And then nasty Captain Yates.
No crackers.
Pulls rank on him.
R-H-I-P.
Yeah.
Because rank has its privileges.
Yeah, indeed.
That's a good red wine with a really sharp cheese is good. So
all right, thank you. Anyway, and then a group of mercenaries turn up, looking a bit like the village people with khakis and stuff. And they're sort of, basically they head in to try and kill the Doctor, because they think the Doctor at this point is...
Well, they do that, but they're like, turn that off about the box.
That would be funny, though. Don't you think there would have been a picture of Reginald Stiles somewhere for them to refer to?
As they say in the last episode, they say, well, people were still writing the histories. Yeah. It's like, well, why don't you have a picture?
Exactly.
I guess it was a time thing.
The Daleks have destroyed all, you know, books and movies and everything else in the future, so all they have to go on is a name.
There is quite a good scene, though, when the mercenaries have arrived in the room and the Doctor's holding a glass of, I think it's wine, and he just sort of deals with the attacks quite nonchalantly.
Yes.
Which is quite funny.
And yes, it is wine.
Confucian karate, there you go.
The Third Doctor had no problem
with wine, even though the 11th Doctor had many problems with wine.
Yes, indeed. Then we meet the Daleks, just so we could have an end of episode exterminate sequence for the viewers to.
Given the fact this is the first time in 5 years of the Daleks, they weren't actually that much, were they? I mean, it was about 1.5 episodes having Daleks in it.
Yeah,
rest of it was really gorillas and the.
Bones.
The sort of not mercenaries.
Unit soldiers.
Quisling.
Gorilla.
Yeah.
Call them the gorillas, don't
they? Gorillas, but that was it. I mean, it's about 1.5 episodes of Daleks.
They were a bit sort of.
First time for 5 years.
Yeah.
With no Daleks.
They were side products, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Hmm. So anyway, so the Daleks controlling the controller. I didn't realise that was an issue.
Yeah.
The Doctor then saves himself by saying that he's, you know, it's a mistaken identity. Mr. Original Stiles is not even here. And one of them says, we'll just kill him anyway.
He's always like, just kill him. Leave him. You're too soft. Yeah.
Brigadier, meanwhile, is in an office full of women soldiers.
Wanting a coffee?
Answering calls left, right, and centre, trying to sort of.
I like the way he comes in going, he wants a coffee, instead of one of them going, which they would have done in the past, I'll go and get one for you, sir. They went, but the canteen's shut. Sorry.
Yeah. The Doctor and Joe get tied up and dumped in the wine cellar. And the Doctor tries to. Of course, apparently Joe's a good escapologist. But later on in Doctor Who, we find the Doctor was a very good friend with Barry Houdini, so he should have been able to get out of the shackles himself.
They do get out rather quickly, don't they?
Yeah,
and also, their hands were tied with their feet, because when Joe was tied up, said, come upstairs. So they could have easily gone upstairs, walked upstairs, and then got out of the building.
Now, do you remember me making a point a while back about John Pertwee not being able to lie down without his legs sticking up, because he apparently had a bad back? I saw a picture recently online of him as Wurzel Gummidge lying down with both his feet flat. So I don't know how that works out. Anyway, moving on. So there's a few little sort of fight sequences, been Ogrons and mercenaries and unit soldiers and...
Yeah, and Pertwee's so...
Gorillas, not mercenaries.
All right, guerrillas.
It's the same type of thing.
Mr. Mugabe's guerrillas.
Mr. Mugabe's guerrillas. That's a reference to Not the 9 o'clock News, Kirby. Not the 9 o'clock News. A Pamela Stevenson impression. Pamela Stevenson's impression of Angela Rippon. Angela Rippon used to be a newsreader. In fact, the first famous woman newsreader on the BBC. Do I need to refer anymore?
No.
She was also in a very famous sequence with Morecambe and Wise, where she was sat behind.
We said no.
Oh, okay. Right. Do you know that chair that the controller's sitting in? As it turns around, it reminds me of those chairs and the teacup rides at various amusement parks. Shut up. I'll be quiet. Anyway, Joe somehow. Oh yeah, because she fiddled with the machine. Joe transports herself in 200 years into the future into a conversation with the very suave and slightly smarmy
Candyman.
But I did read up about the sequence, which would have worked very well if one camera hadn't carried on zooming out. When they zoomed out from the screen to see the Dalek watching the controller on the screen, one camera stopped zooming and the other camera should have stopped zooming, but unfortunately the other camera continued to zoom, so
Joe Grant was not aware who the Daleks were, so they would have meant nothing to her, so she was quite happily being bemused, wasn't she?
Yeah, she hadn't met them yet in this episode anyway. She just met the controller. I think they deliberately kept the Daleks out of it so as to get Joe used to being in a future environment. So the Doctor, meanwhile, finds his way down to the tunnel and bumps face on with the Dalek.
That's Bull's Bridge, railway bridge in Middlesex.
Is it? Okay. Right. Like I say, the Doctor goes down, bumps into a head on with the Dalek, and then him and his guerrilla friends get transported back to the future. The Doctor is quite keen, because he thinks Joe might be dead, on finding Joe, and he sort of basically sneaks...
Master.
Oh, good grief. Yes?
You completely skipped over just before he goes into the tunnel.
Did I?
He had the battle where he killed an Ogron.
Okay, good, right. He killed a guy.
Yes, they were shooting. Yes, they were, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Wasn't the Ogron going to kill him, though?
No, he was just walking along.
So it was cold-blooded murder.
Minding his own Ogron business.
Yeah, right.
Minding his Ogron business.
Yeah. So, yes, this is one of those occasions which the Doctor, and he has done it in the history
of
Doctor.
He's done it before.
He cold-blooded murdered some alien
creature. He tends to murder entire civilizations rather than individuals.
He doesn't do things by halves, you know.
Right. Yes.
doesn't quite come under his nickname Doctor, because his Doctor is supposed to be healer. And that, as we know, as the Capaldi Doctor said, that all Doctors are based on him. Right, so, yeah, so there's the Doctor finds his way into the sort of city, HQ, whatever you want to call it, and then he gets almost immediately...
Factory.
Eh?
It's a factory.
Okay, factory, and you get.
They don't say what they make, but they do. Yeah. They keep referring to it as the factory.
That's what they don't at all. You never say what are they producing for Daleks. You never find out.
Yeah, we just see a load of.
They just refer later to minerals and ores that they need.
Later on, they do. Yeah.
So it's just continuation.
It's a car park, isn't it? If I remember rightly.
Dark Invasion of Earth. Is it the same thing?
Yes.
We never get told.
I think it is the same Dalek invasion.
I've got a problem with my live feed at the moment.
Why?
Because my battery's running out.
Oh, okay. Because you are still on.
My arse is still on, yes.
I don't know about your arse. Your arse is no Krillin to us.
Well, let's hope the feed stays online, even if nobody's blooming well watching it. So, Joe is having some lovely little dinners with the controller, who's being very nice to her.
A few feasts, isn't she?
Yeah, she's really yumming it down.
Unfortunately, they couldn't afford seats in the future, so they have to sit on white cushions.
I do like the fact that she deploys the patented companion technique of vase overhead at one point in this. Bless you.
Thank you.
So the Doctor gets caught by some Ogrons and nasty guard people and gets tortured a little bit. And he's huffing and puffing. And the guard with a slightly unshaven look is very tough. Very tough.
Yeah,
Ian
he comes back.
Ian Kirk's watching everybody. Say hello, Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian Kirk.
I love this. This is definitely Blackadder, isn't it? Because he's like a torturer.
Yeah, he looks like Baldrick.
Yeah, wonderful.
But he keeps on slapping his
medieval torturer man as a Blackadder.
Yeah, but he keeps on slapping his whip into his hand in a very tough manner. You know, when I was little, I remember I was quite friends with little. I was about 15. We used to live in the upstairs flat of this block, this sort of little house, and I was quite friendly with the couple that lived in the bottom flat. And I was sort of around there visiting them and watching telly when the landlord turned up to threaten the couple for not paying their rent on time or something like that. And I looked out through the window to see him there, and I saw standing next to the landlord was my granddad acting really tough, and he was slapping something into his hand in a tough fashion, which reminded me of this scene.
Oh my god!
Well, you know what they say: sadomasochism means never say you're sorry.
Yeah. Yes, sorry. You're going to say?
Don't say sorry.
Again.
So, there's the Doctor was going to get some more. Because some bloke turns up and said, "Come on, I'm on your side. Oh, come on, which side are you on?" Pretending some sort of rebel. Yes.
He wasn't pretending.
Since you are, you missed a infotext thing there.
Well, I'm not bothered now. You said all the infotext is wrong, so I'm bypassing.
No,
it.
Not all the infotext.
Oh, here
is
we
wrong.
Go. Only bits that you've read. Yeah, go on.
Anyway. Did you notice that for a prison cell, why is there a desk in it? But the desk happens to be one of the desks from the control room that the women are waving their hands over.
Brilliant. Right. So anyway, so the controller comes in and says, how can we treat this as this gentleman's our guest, essentially. So the doctor gets sort of taken out and put in a little snack room with Joe. Snack room.
So when can we see Joe's knickers?
Oh, that's in episode...
Well, the last episode, it was when she climbs over the doctor.
No, it's episode three. Yeah, episode
three. Oh, yeah,
when she gets up
They climb down the hatchway.
No, it's not that.
No. When she gets up off the cushions, you get a really good shot.
Yeah, who really rules this planet of yours?
In this scene.
No, okay. All right, shut up. Anyway, so never mind when you get to see Joe's knickers.
Episode three.
The Daleks.
George illustrated, apparently, is the magazine.
Yeah, all right. The Daleks are not sure this is their arch enemy, the Doctor, so they watch on some sort of CCTV. The Doctor and Joe, meanwhile, do a bit of cracking of vases overheads and then try and escape on a little sort of quad bikey with three wheels.
That quad bike was really slow.
It's not a quad, it's only got three wheels.
It's a dune buggy. It's a tricycle. Yeah, all right.
It's
a dune buggy.
Yeah, and also it makes a funny noise.
They use the same ones in Diamonds Are Forever.
Okay.
Dune buggy.
Faster.
Moving on. There was also a new character turns up in these episodes as well. The blonde one with the tash. Apparently, got quite good reviews on his acting in this story, and got lots of other parts because on the back of his performance in Doctor Who. The Doctor meanwhile has a sort of a mind.
One
probe.
Of these guys was in a rock band.
Yes, he was. He was in the new Small Faces. Yes, until he left, was he a keyboard player or something like that? I can't remember. Anyway, right. So
the one that is
right at the end, he blows the building up. That
Shura.
One.
Okay, Shura.
Yeah. Shura, yeah.
Shura.
Jimmy Winston was
Jimmy
his name.
Winston, yes. Good grief. Anyway, so the Doctor, meanwhile, is strapped into a machine that's able to probe his mind, but it's not the mind
not
probe.
Not the mind probe!
We see images of previous Doctors, which is the first time we actually probably see images of previous Doctors in...
There's only two of them.
This rather indicates to the Daleks that this is, in fact, the Doctor.
I did like how the little background screen there turns into the
title sequence.
The howl around for the title sequence.
They were very lazy in this story when it comes to those sort of things. One with the fact that the pullback sequences at the beginning had the sting in them, so they couldn't be bothered to re-edit it without the sting.
Yeah.
And then you got that bit there. Oh, we can't be bothered to make up some new sort of futuristic-y backgrounds, so we'll just use a title sequence. And then
for some reason they chose this particular DVD set to put in a extra where they go in with Barry Letts and a guy who did the video editing live as they're doing everything. They go into the BBC Television Center and discuss what is that called? And how they would do that sort of video editing without referencing the fact that they did such a poor job on this one.
Ian Kirk just posted a link on his on the thing. So, I don't
a
know
link
what,
on
what
the it, thing.
It's a
link on the thing.
On our feed, it just says Ian Kirk, and it's got a link to a JPEG, which we can't do anything with. So I don't know what's going on there, Ian. I'll move on.
Why don't you follow it?
You can't. That's what I just said. So they've confirmed that this, in fact, is the Doctor. And, I'm going to skip forward a little bit because this is a big crux of the story where the Daleks decide to travel back in time to make sure that Stars is done in. But the Doctor then realises that this whole event is caused by the fact they've gone back and blown up the building they've killed Stiles, and it was them that actually... It's like a paradox loop thingy, isn't it?
They must have gone forward in time to Stephen Moffat stories to get this idea.
Yeah.
But at no point in time do the gorillas realise the fact that they're going to go ahead and actually destroy their own timelines. They will not exist.
Yeah.
So what they're going to do is going to kill themselves.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. Either way, the doctor said, well, you've created your own problem, so you must, the only way of solving it is by stopping the bloke from Small Faces blowing up at the house.
This is the only story that I've ever seen that has Ogrons in it, but I'm aware they're in later stories. Frontier Are they ever any better?
Frontier in space.
Anyway. Haven't seen it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, the controller, of course, because the doctor has a bit of a go at him, he finds he has a conscience, and he helps the doctor and Joe get back to essentially present day, and just lets himself get killed by the Daleks.
Because the doctor saved his life. He feels he should.
That's fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. And then Baldrick takes over. Yes.
Yeah. And then Baldrick's obviously not got long to go anyway, because he knows he's dead anyway.
Yes. And then all these delegates start turning up at the house, so because there's a big meeting. But the doctor and Joe Legan, get everybody out. The house is going to blow up. Of course, Reginald Starr says, oh, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm having standing and then Brigadier.
Brig and Benson and Yates are really good there. Move it.
Yes,
just
exactly.
Bloody move it, just get out of here.
Yeah, it was a good scene, that. what about my files? I've got them here.
Now, this newscaster guy, isn't he playing himself?
It's real. Yeah, it's a real newscaster, apparently.
He is, yeah. Mm. That's it, you never see him again.
No. So anyway, the slow-moving Ogrons and Daleks, three of them. There's only three.
Three Daleks and six Ogrons.
Yep.
And also, you see the doctor killing Ogrons, don't you?
You what?
You see the doctor killing Ogrons.
Oh, yeah.
No, not in this scene. He only does that in the one scene back in episode two.
Okay. Anyway, so the doctor goes down and explains to Shura. Is it Shura? What's actually going on? But Shura knows that he must destroy all the Daleks by blowing himself and the building up, which is what he does.
Yeah.
Now, and then we get, for the second story running, a house.
Yeah, like Shura offers to do it, and the doctor just goes, yeah, right then.
Yeah. We see a building getting blown up, because it works so well at the end of the Daemons that they had to do it again with this house.
It happened so quickly. Mm. Because there was a nice, massive, stately home, and then suddenly, it's all disappeared.
Yes. So it was a very abrupt ending, wasn't it? It was like a build-up, and suddenly it was gone, and it finished. And, Sir Reginald, you know what your job is to do, and that was the end of the episode. Right. Day of the Daleks.
And that's why I said they had trouble editing for the last episode, so they couldn't put back in the meeting of the doctor with the doctor.
So what you're saying is they could have actually not rushed it so much and maybe made it another five-part story. Because they did say, I think episode four was rushed through a little bit.
What Ian had posted was the picture of Joe's knickers.
What was it? Let's have a look then. Where is it? I can't see it. Ian?
You might need to refresh your Facebook.
Okay, I'm refreshing my Facebook.
I think we've probably seen Joe's knickers anyway, so he's like...
Oh, yeah,
definitely
now.
Joe's knickers.
Hey.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ian. I'm very pleased with it. Anyway, right, so my thoughts on Day of the Daleks. It's pretty good. As a Dalek story, it's not very good. It doesn't really feel like a Dalek story, even though the Daleks are in it. But the storyline's quite a nice idea. I like the paradoxy element to it.
I saw three Doctors, not a paradox.
And yeah, on the whole, I quite like this. It's quite a sentimental one for me. As I said last week, it's the first Doctor Who story I physically remember having seen. Even though I know I watched earlier Doctor Who episodes, even Troughton, but I don't remember seeing them. I just was told I used to watch them. So yeah, on the whole, I actually quite like it. I'd be quite interested to hear what Andy thinks.
Yeah, well, it's the first Daleks of 5 years. It's not the best because really the Daleks only for what, 1.5 episodes? They're not all the way through, so it's not really. I don't see how it's really a Dalek story. They're taken to the Earth, but you never really quite out why. And also, you realise that when the Doctor destroys them, he's going to destroy the timeline. They're not really there, so it won't happen. And it was good, but it was... What I did like, though, I think the unit characters were really good. I thought the Brig, Yates, Benton were really strong characters. I think the way they played it on, I thought Styles as well was, I'm a civil servant myself, so I could see he was a really sharp, typical, blunderous civil servant, and I actually appreciate it. You know, I can see him, some of the people I work with, that's the way they work. And I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, it's not the best Dalek story ever.
No.
It's not. I actually don't think it's really a Dalek story, but someone enjoyed it. Good story. Yeah. And off we go to the Daleks again. So, yeah, good. Enjoyed it.
Yes, thank you. Well, we have to obviously mention that this story wasn't actually supposed to have the Daleks in it. The Daleks were sort of shoehorned into the storyline for reasons I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
It was meant to be a big ghost story, apparently, this particular tale, but they changed it into a Dalek story. Okay, Kirby, what did you think?
This is one that I enjoy. It's a very middle of the road, interesting story. I won't go out and necessarily pick it up to watch it, but it's not one that I've refused to watch. When I had the choice of which version to watch, and I decided to go back and watch the original version, even though they did a very good job when they redid it, adding the effects and stuff.
Yes, they did.
And fixing the voices.
Joe's knickers in the.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't care, when we're done, I'll go back and see. But this. Where was I? You interrupted me.
You're talking about the new version.
Turnabout is fair play.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the new version is good, and the thing is that the Dalek voices in the original version don't bother me that much. Oh, okay. So I people long before I saw this. I kept hearing, oh, the Dalek voices are horrible in Day of the Daleks. And they didn't bother me that much.
No, they weren't too bad.
So anyway, it's an average story it's just the right length. It's not not too long.
That's what
therefore,
she said.
Therefore, I'll watch it. I won't watch something that's going to go on for six episodes like this.
No.
Okay, yes. Thank you, Kirby. Debbie, what did you think?
Yes. Middling. You could tell it wasn't. It was certainly not a good Dalek story because you did feel that they were sort of shoehorned in. It could have been any bad company running the state of affairs in the future. You know, that sort of thing. And they just didn't seem. They weren't used enough. They were just sort of in a room until the end, and the humans were just getting on with it for them. But there was the whole power struggle, you know, obviously between the controller and the guy who was beneath him, who betrayed him at the end and became the next controller. You know, there was the whole sort of hierarchy.
Aldrich.
The hierarchy thing that they had all the way through, you know, like they started it with Benton and Yates, and it was just constantly all the way through, and that, you know, being questioned by Boaz all the time and her being in charge. So there was quite a subtle play for power throughout the whole thing, which I really appreciated. But as a Dalek story, no, it didn't work for me very much. I will not be going out deliberately to watch it again. I've watched it twice now, but I do think the bit at the end is lets it down, because it's quite funny watching the Dalek trying to get through the French windows.
Yeah. But right up for him.
They're just wheeling along, you know, just bumbling around the corner of the house, and you still know that they're a threat. They're a great threat, and they're always built up to be this great threat. But here they were just sort of rolling along, and it, you know, and then falling prey to a bomb in the house. You know, it was. I felt that it should not have been a Dalek story full stop. As a standalone, as you say, they were shoehorned in, but as it would have been a good, just a good story about humans and human relations in the future and things like that, and what the wars have done without having the Daleks involved. But yeah, so middling for me.
Okay, thank you, Debbie.
Master. Oh, that one thing Debbie just reminded me of is the Daleks would have an easier time invading that house because at the time they filmed that, they had the gravel driveway, and they have since paved it over so they could roll along better.
Thank you for that, Kirby.
These Daleks also managed to come out of a muddy tunnel and down dirt roads and all that. So.
Yeah. The Ogrons lift them over or something, I suppose.
Yeah.
Elevate.
Anyway, Mary.
Well, contrary to the end, I enjoyed it. I think I liked it better than any of you.
Oh, my.
I know we've seen this before. There were scenes in here that I did remember, but overall, I did not remember how the story went, so I was totally engaged. I think the acting was really good throughout, and I liked the direction of it. I really liked it. Now, of course, there's always those niggly things that amuse me. like in spite of, you know, sloshing through mud and dirt and everything, I noticed when the doctor is going up the steps from that tunnel, you know, his shoes were immaculate and shiny. Yates and Benson, I mean, they are truly rubbish.
Benson.
Benton, as they are reporting to the brig about, oh yeah, we searched the house. Well, they never once went down in the basement. which is where the doctor and Joe were being held.
Yeah.
I am one of those people that hates the voice of the Daleks in this one. I just, they were just kind of irritating, and I didn't think they contributed much. And I did read that Pertwee hated acting in any story that would have Daleks in it, because he knew people would be tuning in mostly to see the Daleks. So maybe that accounts for the fact that his acting in this is way more intense than it's been in other stories. And I think he did a really good job. I totally believed him. Some question that I had was, you know how the women in the controllers block or area, whatever, you know, with waving their hands and all that. Did you notice how zombie-like they were?
Yeah.
You know, they're like no expressions to their voices and that. And I just
a bit like robo women.
Well, I did.
Yeah, like robo women, and there was no explanation given as to why they were like that.
I think it's just the way they've been bred. You know, when he alluded to the fact there was three generations. Maybe that they were all sort of next generation, third generation of just blindly following orders.
Brought up to be like that. I don't know.
Yep.
And I thought it was so funny that bicycle, the three-wheeled cycle out there. I mean, I had to wonder, well, who left that there? I mean, the Daleks wouldn't have, and the Ogrons wouldn't have. And you know, would there be somebody in the controller's
clumsy
building there?
It would be a clumsy human.
Yeah,
it'd be a very clumsy human needing a very slow ride to work.
Oh, God,
and
that was,
I thought it was so bad. Funny that as much as the Ogrons tried to be, you know, like clumsy and slow, they still
put it, weight past.
I'm thinking, what is the doctor hoping to accomplish here? But anyway, and I will leave it with a question. Do you ever wonder, whenever we have a story, how changing the past would change the future?
Mm-hmm.
The future being where the story is set. How would that future change be experienced? You know, like if they did in fact change the future, you know, the people that are living in that future, how would, I mean, like, would there be like a whirlwind and everything would like change all of a sudden? Or I don't know. I always wonder.
Well, according to the Back to the Future trilogy, it just just goes off down a new timeline. So the original timeline's there, but you can't access it. Slips and goes down a new timeline.
People that are in the past. If they were still able to travel to the future, then, I mean, they'd be lost.
They'd be lost, but that because they were on a timeline that originally existed, they were able to go back and blow up the house, but they could never get back to their original timeline because that's now been erased from history along with themselves. So it's a paradox. It's a paradox, not a pair of docks. It's a paradox.
I thought the Ogrons and the Daleks would all just kind of disappear because they wouldn't exist anymore.
But they did. They blew them up in the house.
No, they were still out in the field fighting the soldiers.
No, apparently they blew them up in the house. Or they just got shot by the unit soldiers.
Loud them past everyone, you know.
Mary?
Yes?
It's a science fiction fantasy television show.
I
was just wondering. Sometimes we need reminding.
And for me, it's a... because it was a question I answered correctly. Right then, so that's it.
I just took a look, and so we do get a Dalek story, two more Dalek stories.
We do, in the poetry era.
We do.
Yes, poetry is one of the most Dalek... we see the most Daleks. We see more Dalek stories in the poetry era than we did in the
I hope they build some more by the next...
My favourite one is the next one, actually. I actually really do like Planet of the Daleks. It's written by Terry Nation.
We're coming to some stories I've never seen.
What'd you say? Why should I call you in? Sorry, the Wookiee's just turned up in the room. I need a drink, actually, Isabella. Could you do me an ever so kindness? One, take that out to the kitchen. And two...
What do you want?
I'd like a Pepsi, but trouble is, it depends whether your mum's got any cans in the fridge, because I don't think you'd be able to pour me out a glass with your germ-ridden fingers. I'll probably catch something.
What's she got germ-ridden fingers
she's
for?
Full of cold. She can't breathe through her nose. She's gone through two rolls of toilet paper today, just blowing her nose constantly.
Well, tell her to wash her hands before she pours your Pepsi.
Indeed.
Yeah,
yes, I've got some hand gel here somewhere. Here we are. It's made by Cuticura. Hand gel, a bit of product placement there. I shall use that.
Not as effective as washing your hands.
I know it isn't, but if you haven't got a sink to hand in the room where you're podcasting, the next best thing, Cuticura. Yeah, go on. Sorry, master. Yeah.
The next four stories I have not seen.
Woo! Ever. There you go. Right, Debbie.
Yeah, by the way,
listeners and viewers, it's now time for feedback. Debbie knows that she's just received and she butchers feedback. So, Alan, stay tuned.
Oh, God. Hooray! Daleks Redux, a bad scare day. Dear 20 megabyters.
Thank you, Angel.
The Day of the Daleks is, of course, a closely studied critique of political stratagems and justificatory excuses. Chief amongst these revolve around the control...
I just love these.
I don't.
Yeah, she loves them too.
She does.
Yeah, I do, but I cringe. Who justifies his family's collaboration by the tiniest of efforts to ameliorate the predicament of the wider population. This is clearly a harsh but reasonable evaluation of neoliberalism and its relationship with a capitalistic hegemony. You heard. The Daleks have adopted the sound maneuver. Kicking a man when he's down, which neatly fits into their modus operandi. The guerrillas are very much the living embodiment of the maxim, fail to plan and you plan to fail. Seriously, they want to stop Sir Reginald from blowing up his house and causing a war.
Seriously?
So one of them left behind decides blowing of the house was the best gambit. We also learn that Arnold Schwarzenegger was originally a ragtag bunch of hapless gorillas that stumble around fouling up every stage. Also, in a dark future, we may find the ruling classes may develop a shiny to obfuscate the true murkiness of the times. Oh, my God. All in all, the Day of the Daleks is full of flaws, mainly shockingly slapdash.
Flaws? Is it quite a tall building?
But the kernel of the story is one of the best time travel tales in Doctor Who or anywhere, and the Brigadier of the story is very good too. The special edition is worthwhile simply for the Dalek voices.
I agree.
And the rest of it is pretty good too, albeit the CGI is a little incongruous at times. Next up, Doctor Who and the Galactic Economic Community versus Plexit. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Yes, thank you, Alan. Sorry about Debbie's reading out all that particular bit of feedback, Alan, but thanks for sending it in anyway.
Him to sit and write those things out if he has to have a dictionary.
Because he likes the amusing aspect of getting Debbie to try and stumble over the words, as we all do. Can you stop snotting all over me?
Sorry.
Right, Ashley Hughes. I wonder if he's still watching. Ashley Hughes. By the way, England won the match, Ashley, just for... He probably knows that, but... Yes.
Yeah.
Which
rather
match?
Spectacularly.
We lost
Wales
ours.
V England.
We lost ours.
Did you now?
What sport was it?
Do you really want to know, Kirby? Andy, what sport was that? Andy's asleep. Right then. Ashley Hughes says
43 man Squamish, I guess.
Ashley Hughes says, I do apologise about my grammar. Oh dear, how old is she? I am Welsh. Yes, England did the rugby. I think that's supposed to say win. Did the rugby. Do you want to read this one? Actually, you can see, you can do it in your Welsh accent, Isabella. Hang on, let's move the microphone.
I suck at Welsh.
Well, I'll try and do it in your,
that's
your English accent.
Okay. I do apologise about my grammar.
Where
I am
then?
Welsh. Yes, England did the rugby. And here's my review for the day of the Daleks. I do find this one a bit strange. I do like it, but it's missing something. I have no doubts that the lovely Mary will love Joe Grant in this story. Trying not to laugh. I feel Joe Grant in this story is awful, pointless being in it. That scream for help. Maybe want to turn the TV off. Does anyone know what happened to the Ouragans after Frontier in space? This is a part when I get kicked off the 20 megabyte Facebook group. Please remember to visit the group or the new listeners. I do prefer the CGI version to the normal, as it helps the story and gets rid of the awful Dalek voices. I give this one 7 out of 10 for both versions. Peace out, good people.
Yes, I have to agree.
By the way, England ladies 63, Wales nil.
I posted that one. Thank you. Debbie, wasn't it? I posted that one.
No, I am. I have a sister who used to play for England, so I am quite biased.
Okay.
Again, what sport are we talking?
Rugby, and you know full well it's rugby, and I know you also know full well that Andy is falling asleep. Otherwise, he'd be taking the mickey out of you big time. Right then.
Yeah, what is he?
I want to respond to Ashley's comment that she couldn't stand Joe. Actually, I didn't find her that annoying.
Ashley is a guy.
Oh, Ashley is a guy? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I did not find her that annoying in this episode.
Yes,
she
got that one wrong, didn't he?
For most of it. Except when she cried.
You didn't watch it. Shut up.
Dab.
Pardon?
Indy.
Yes, are we
handy?
Time for the question.
Are you asleep?
No. You lot are chatting quite happily. I mean,
yeah, but your name got mentioned about four times, and rugby got mentioned as well.
Rugby got mentioned.
I can't believe you kept quiet during a mention of rugby.
Yes, but it's, you know, you guys are going off wonderfully. It's like I'm listening. I'm just wow.
You just went back a few years into the time when you used to just listen to the show, didn't you, at that particular moment?
It's something like that, yes.
Yeah. Okay, got some more audio feedback. And I think the person involved is actually listening to the show at the moment. I do hope they are.
Hello, Quentin McMahon Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Day of the Daleks by Lewis Marks. The first episode for a while without the Master.
Yes,
the first time the Doctor meets himself. And this is despite the Blimovich limitation effect, which the Doctor says is the reason the gorillas could not visit the same time and place twice. Having Joe Grant sit on the floor in his short skirt was an unfortunate choice. At the end, the Doctor goes back in time to prevent the peace conference being destroyed.
Yes.
The Dalek future continues, which seems to be TV episode time, in which the future is not changed until we see the past events being changed. There are so few gorillas, they might have been better in civilian clothes to be less recognisable. I'm glad it was only four episodes. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Don't go now.
No,
Ian, carry on with the show.
This was not a good, really good story to bring Daleks back in, was it?
It wasn't, but I think most people that were probably grateful we'd got the Daleks back in Doctor Who, because they were supposed to be finished. And also it meant, of course, there was a chance we were going to get more Daleks later on. And like I say, I really do like Planet of the Daleks, which we will see in a few episodes' time.
Yes, it's quite, yes.
Yes, it's very good. Will you stop being silly, please? Not you, Andy, I'm talking about Isabella. There's one other thing I wanted to mention.
I can't help being silly.
No, I know that. Anybody who is a member of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, I did post on there the other day a photo of the Isle of Wight Candy Press front page, which talks about the fact that Norris Castle is being bought by someone and is going to be made into a hotel. Very exciting. Because after we were saying it's private property, we can't go to Norris Castle. Now, it's not going to be private property. You can just go in there and stay there. How brilliant! And
probably film a wedding there.
Hopefully, but what I thought would be a great place to have
a
doctor.
Shut up!
What a great place to have a Doctor Who convention at Norris Castle, which was an actual place that they filmed Doctor Who. I've got it all my height. It's going to be called the Sea Devils Convention. It's going to be held at Norris Castle, and Deb's going to arrange it, aren't you, Deb?
Yeah.
Excellent. Sorted. Right, that'll be a couple of years.
I wasn't sure what story it was in. Now you've got clarified.
Yes, thank you, Kirby.
Sea Devils.
Yes, thank you, Kirby.
Yeah, bit of a clue there, Kirby.
Now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Okay, Debbie, who do you think's going to be ahead at the end of the questions?
Kirby.
Did you have to check your notes?
No, just I was swallowing.
Me.
Sorry.
Me. It's
going to
be me.
Andy, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the questions?
Master.
Kirby, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the questions?
Debbie.
Debbie's still checking her notes. Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the? Shut up!
It's going
to
be.
Me. Be quiet. Who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the question? Okay. And I think that Kirby will be ahead, because I reckon he's lying about not having looked back at the previous time we run this quiz and checked through the answers.
Are you allowed to choose yourself?
Will you be quiet? So, right, yeah. First question goes to Kirby. Oh, don't forget your jokers, everyone. Debbie, not Master. Kirby. Goes to Debbie.
Oh.
Sorry, Debbie, I made a mistake.
I said Kirby.
I did say Kirby.
Yeah,
I did say the Kirby. I meant Debbie. It's an easy mistake to make. They look quite similar. All right. Go on then, Isabella, if you can. Quite easy. Ready? It's the one at the top of the page.
I see it. What is the name of Sir Reginald Stiles?
Reginald. That's a good start.
Reginald Stiles' assistant.
Miss Paget.
Correct.
Should have played Joker.
Pardon,
Andy?
Can I throw a thing at my late father's second name was Reginald.
Yes.
So actually, this is very appropriate for me.
Oh.
So
right.
Next up is
Andy. Move that page over. Right. Andy, yes, your question.
Okay.
What is the government-owned country house used by Sir Reginald Stiles?
Sorry,
do you want me to read that one in English for you? What is the name of the... Shut up. Oh, there you are. Sorry, I thought it was you. What is the government-owned country house used by Reginald... Oh, God, I can't even bloody well say it.
What's the name of the house?
Yes.
It's
Ostley. Pardon?
It's actually a place we've actually been to. The place it should have been, which is Ostley, Dawn and I have actually been to. But then it was actually a place in Buckinghamshire that was not Ostley. That's should have been.
What's the name of the house in the
What's
story?
What's the name of the house in the story?
Yeah, that's what we're Ostley trying to Fog. Establish. Pardon?
Ostley Fog.
I'm sorry, are you fascinating, Kirby?
Can I answer?
I didn't understand what he said. What did he
Ostley.
Say?
Ostley.
Oh, right, we'll do this then.
He's saying Ostley. That's not... It's not called Ostley.
No, it isn't. Right. What's it called then? Debbie, did you say I know first?
Yeah.
Orderly.
Yeah, Orderly.
Debbie.
Hmm.
Yeah. Correct.
That was a long, long answer to that question, wasn't it? Okay.
Hang on a minute.
Yes.
The real name of the place is Ostley.
Hmm. No, but we're talking about the story. Name. No, none of the viewers would know that. We're talking about the actual story.
I misunderstood the question.
Yes.
I thought you meant what it's really called. Yeah, you're right. I've got it wrong.
Kirby.
I thought it really called.
No, thank you. Kirby.
Master.
What? Oh,
Master.
Sorry. Go on. You reread it then. Go on then.
What did the doctor say to the futuristic gun that was discovered was...
You really can't speak through your nose, can you?
In English, please.
Right. What did the doctor say the futuristic gun that was discovered was? I can bloody say it.
Joker.
Oh, Joker.
Ultrasonic disintegrator.
You're doing really well today, Isabella.
Friday.
Yes. Next question goes to Mary. Hmm? Want to have a go at this one? Oh, God.
Which one is it?
Number four.
Okay. What cheese does the doctor seem to enjoy quite a lot?
I know. Woo, 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 woo. I get an easy one. Joker. Gorgonzola.
Correct. Yay.
Yay, thank you. Finally, I get an easy one.
So the next question goes to Debbie, number five.
What does RHIP stand for?
Rank has its
sake. Oh, for heaven's sake.
Andy's question coming up. Next one.
Oh, God.
What is the name of the female mercenary?
Yeah, what is the name of the female, not a mercenary, if we discovered, gorilla? What's the name of the female gorilla?
I know.
The trouble is, I actually know the name of the actress. It was Anna Barry.
Yeah, and we know that, but that's not the question.
Yeah, I know, and I can't
think of
it.
But just add a letter. Yeah,
you keep giving us the answers.
Annette.
Oh, I'll give you that one. Near enough.
Annette.
It's Annette. Annette, we call it his Birmingham accent that's made that sound like Annette, but it is Annette, yes. Well done. Well done. Kirby's question.
Master.
Number seven.
All right. How many men did Benton report missing?
I know.
Two.
Got it.
Mary's question.
Yes, please.
Number eight.
What is Shora's radio code name to Eagle?
I have ZV6, so it's like ZV6.
Okay. Yeah.
Score updates. Try and do this quickly, Isabella.
Shut up, Dad.
Over here, the microphone's here, not over there.
Right. Last place of 1 point is Adam.
Yeah.
Fourth place with 2 points, Andy. Ty's second place is Kirby and Mary with 6 points. And in the lead with 7 points, Debbie, what a surprise.
See, I told you.
Not throw my notebook down, thank you very much. Next question goes to Debbie. That would essentially be question number nine.
What reason does a doctor give to Joe as to why they cannot go back to September the 12th?
The Blinovich limitation thing. That should have been a Mary question.
Right, Andy.
Yeah, I agree.
Andy, the next one goes to Andy.
Okay. What mode of transport does the Brigadier elect to use to get back to Orderly?
A jeep.
Hang on.
Yeah, got it right.
Yes.
Oh, damn it, be Joker.
You should have used your Joker. That is correct.
No, it's
right, next question goes to Kirby. Let me read the question because I've got to play my Joker. It's not read it out loud, obviously. Let me read it before you read it. Right, hang on.
Mini.
Okay, I'm going to play my joker on this one. I think all the questions are easy, but I might as well play it on this one anyway. What's your name again? Whose question is this?
I think it's Kirby.
Master.
All right. Right, this is my jerky and that jerky joker. Isabella.
Is it 11?
It is 11, yes.
How far approximately is Audley House away from London?
I know too. It's 50 miles.
Have you played your Joker?
Yes, I played my Joker for my first one.
Not
the
entirely
thing is
impressed
that
with
Adam
that.
Should not have played his Joker.
Oh, be quiet, you. Mary?
Yeah. I'm the one you should be playing your Jokers on.
I see. Who was the first to kill an Orgron?
I know.
This is Mary's question.
Ooh. Yeah, it is.
Sharon?
Ooh.
No.
Excellent. I get a point. Kirby said he knows.
The doctor.
Correct.
Next question goes to Debbie.
Hello.
What sneaky thing to Boaz and Annette do while the doctor is at the factory city?
I'll say that with punctuation. Yeah. What sneaky thing do Boaz and Annette do while the doctor is at the factory city? Can you shut the door? Because if your mother hears us podcasting, that will be the end of the show. Sorry.
Is that by when they share a cigar?
Essentially, all it was smoke would have been the
lovely habit. I must admit, I really do miss that.
Yeah. Andy's question.
Yeah. Okay.
Can we meet up and have a clandestine one eventually?
Yeah, no viewers.
Dawn and I are both ex-smokers, and I was an ex-cigar smoker, and I really do miss.
I've never smoked. Filthy habit.
Nor have I.
What do the Daleks use to find out the identity of the Doctor?
Whose question is this?
I've forgotten
it's
now.
Mine.
Andy's.
That was Andy's question.
Oh, God. It's like a space-time visualizer, isn't it?
Unfortunately, you need to use the phrase used in the script.
I'm not going to get it. No.
I think Debbie knows.
The mind analysis machine.
Oh, bollocks, so it is, yes.
if I had said not the mind probe, would that
not right. The mind probe.
It's Kirby's question.
Who?
You.
You don't know yourself, Kirby.
That seems like it's not the right order, but okay, whatever.
It is. We had Debbie, then we had Andy.
Yeah, that was Debbie, okay. Andy, Kirby.
And now it's Kirby.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Come on in.
I've lost it.
Well, if you would like to tell you which one it is, then it would be number 15.
Okay. How do the... you read it.
Well, how do the gorillas plan to get into the factory Gorilla. City?
How do they...
I know.
Through the underground railway.
Yay.
Yeah.
Mary's turn. Do you want to try this one, number 16?
16. How many generations has the controller's family been in charge of that part of the factory?
I know.
Oh, doesn't he say he's the third generation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, score update then, Isabella.
Last place with 3 points is Adam. Fourth place with 4 points is Andy. Third place with 8 points is Mary. And the draw for first place is Debbie and Kirby.
With how many?
Oh, dear.
13.
How many points?
13 each. Next question goes to Debbie. And Andy still hasn't played his Joker. Just like to point out, bear in mind.
Safe.
So some points hopefully coming to me.
Okay, where is it? I'm lost.
I know you are. Number 17 is next.
Okay. At which airport were Styles and his delegation...
Oh, good grief. At which airport were Styles and his delegation due to arrive at 1800 hours?
RAF Manston.
Whoa.
Andy. Go on in. Number 18. Number 18, Isabella.
Which of the
Right, try saying gorillas when you see the word mercenaries.
The gorillas were left injured in the 20th century time zone.
I know.
It's the one who blew himself at the end and I've no idea, so no, I'm not going to get it.
Oh, excellent point for me. Go on then, Debbie.
Jura.
Right, it's Kirby's question.
I think I answered that one several questions ago.
You probably did. Kirby's question, which Master. Is number 19 there, Isabella.
Okay. What was the name of the TV reporter standing
Alex
outside?
McIntosh. Oh,
God, don't get any extra well. Points for saying for interruptions now. Right, Mary's question.
Mary.
One underneath that one, number 20.
Okay. What make of car did Sir Reginald Styles arrive at the house in?
You won't get this one. I should have done this as my joker.
I didn't understand the beginning of that question.
What make of car did Sir Reginald Styles arrive at the house in?
Yeah, well, I don't know, so.
All right, anybody?
Yes.
Go on in.
There's actually two. There's a Rolls and a Daimler.
Nice. Oh.
And it's in the info text.
Is it?
What?
It's Jag then.
It's a Jaguar.
No, it's a Bentley.
No,
you don't have to look at. You don't even have to look at the info text. You can actually see the Bentley logo on the blimmin' wheel. It's a Bentley. It's not a Daimler. It's not a Rolls Royce. And maybe a Rolls Royce was one of the other cars. But it's in fact a Bentley. So the info text there, Kirby, surprise, surprise, as you admitted earlier on, is wrong. Okay, there's two questions left.
Two questions
left. And this is a free for all.
Can we get a score update?
A score update is. Do you want to do a score update?
Questions. Can't we go on and finish?
Last place with 4 points is Andy. Fourth place with 6 points is Adam. Third place with 8 points is Mary. and
oh, the suspense is
second
killing
place
me.
With 15 points is Kirby, and in the lead by 1 point is Debbie.
And the two free-for-all questions start with this one. What is the only material effective... Do you mind snotting when I'm trying to ask a question? What is the only material effective against Daleks?
Dalek mania.
Pardon?
No. No, it's wrong. Wrong.
Sorry, what did you say, Mary?
She said Dalek mania.
It's quite funny. All right, anybody else?
Dalek anium.
Yay. Sorry.
Right, last question, free for all. Who composed the incidental music for Day of the Daleks?
Dudley Simpson.
That's quite amusing. Right, that's tough.
Well, nobody else was going to say it.
I'm surprised Kirby didn't. He's not going to come up with the answer of the composers. Wasn't very good, the music, was it? I must admit. It was iconic, but it wasn't very good. All right, a score update before we,
Are you ready for
this? Is before. We haven't come the final scores. This is intermediate scores.
This is before, okay. Right, last place of 4.
The microphone's there. It's not over in the corner of the room.
Hello. Last place with 4 points is Andy. Yeah. 4th place with 7 points is Adam. 3rd place with 8 points is Mary. 2nd place with 16 points is Kirby. And the winner at the moment is Debbie.
The winner at the moment.
At the moment.
Right, so let's go back through the wages, shall we? Yeah. Debbie.
Now, what would have happened if we had tied?
I think that
You need a tiebreaker question sometimes.
Normally, there'll be a tiebreaker pressure, and I might be able to make one up off the spot. But at the moment, there is no need for that, because Debbie predicted Kirby.
Yeah.
Yes. Andy predicted me. Kirby predicted Debbie. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Mary predicted me, and I predicted Kirby. So the final scores are...
God, crikey. Last place with 4 points, Andy.
Yeah.
Yay.
4th place with 7 points, Adam.
Yeah.
And 3rd place with 8 points is Mary.
Yay.
2nd place Yay. With 18 points, Debbie. And the winner with 32 points is Kirby.
I do love these little twists. Pardon?
Bang.
Hi. Yes, more recently, if anybody noticed, because we have got a Facebook group, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, called the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group. I posted...
Which you can join.
well done, thank you. The lovely Meninda sent me an email with a special offer at Lavazzi. I don't know if anybody noticed that, but it was a very good special offer. There is another one. I think it was going to check.
They always come in when I've been paid and I haven't any money left.
That's Debbie's excuse. I have noticed that nobody else is using that excuse, Meninda. Right, let's have a look. So I'm just going to check my emails because I think he sent another thing through. This is a very, very good exclusive to only live people. But all two of you can actually take advantage
live
of.
Live people?
People that are...
You're not dead people.
No, people that are watching live on the Facebook feed. When was this? I think it came on Saturday. It might be the same one, actually. So it's 20% off. It is a new one. 20% off an official Doctor Who scarf, Kirby. Yes.
Oh, I saw that. Was that the one?
I think I have one.
Is that the one with the scarves?
Yeah. It did say on Saturday there was only 5 orders remaining under the offer. So just in case there's any left, if you go to lavazzi.co.uk, I'll just make sure that's the right order now. What does that say? That's quite a long link, actually, but it's Lavazzi. It's lavazzi.co.uk, products, Doctor Who fourth calf, long question mark. Oh, that's too long. I can't read that out.
Yeah, don't
I'm not
try.
Reading that out, but there is a... if you, it might be somewhere on there about the competition, but if you can get to the competition page, you type in Who20 during checkout, and then you'll save 20% on the Doctor Who scarf, which is the long one.
I have the shorter one. I
do
think.
You? Don't think so.
Mine's not super long. It's
18 feet.
Don't worry. <Yeah. laughs>
Oh dear. Yes, perhaps, just in case there's any left, go to lavazzi.co.uk. And when you try and buy the scarf and type in 220, you may indeed save 20% on your order. That's our friends at Lavazzi, which Deb's trying to get a job with next time there's a Doctor Who festival, hopefully this year. Fingers crossed.
The favorite of mine for our sponsors.
You always say that.
Yes.
Yes, I do. I also always say something else that I'm about to say.
Anyway, our other sponsors have a shop in Ryde on the Isle of Wight, and you can visit them very nicely. And they've been our sponsors almost from day one. There's no need to mention them because everybody knows who they are. And
Who won.co.uk?
Yes, coming soon is the stuff they had last week.
I say that every time.
Do you?
Yes.
So also people, the rare Ben Aranovich Missing Adventures.
I thought it was the Almost People.
A Missing Story. £25 paperback, but obviously it's quite a rare. It says stock number NA0390, so it's obviously a very rare edition of the book, but they have got them if you want to get something rare. As I said, £25. Of course, they also have Big Finish on CD. That's Beast of Cravenous, the Contingency Club, Diary of Riversong 2, Eternal Battle, and Starmen. That's coming soon stuff. All available pre-order at whoone.co.uk. And the current Doctor Who magazine 509 with the Doctor and Nardole on the front cover is also available. If you're an American, get it a lot quicker than you can do if you wait for it to arrive in shops. And of course, we have Horror Fang Rock. I think that's a audiobook on CD, $19.99, and Lost Angel, a 12th Doctor story, are also on CD. Some of these audiobooks of the current Doctor stories are actually very, very good. Now, my favourite is a story called The Storm Roars. It's read by David Tennant. Absolutely brilliant story. So if you get a chance to either read that book or listen to it on audio, please do, because it's cracking. So that's it for the sponsors. I think we better have a look at news. I'm not sure there is much, actually. I haven't heard, apart from what I alluded to earlier. I just typed in Doctor wrong. That doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't.
I'm trying to type with one hand.
What I've got on here is Volume 3 of Warp Warp has just been released.
Are you trying to jump in on my news feature, Debbie? Yes,
interview. I've had it up for...
I bet you have. I'm trying to do the news.
That's what she said.
Right. Yes,
To mark the
80th anniversary of the year the Doctor Who legend and electronic music pioneer Delia Derbyshire, who doesn't get half the credit she deserves, when she was born. It says the 80th anniversary year. I presume that she would have been 80 if she'd still been alive.
Yes, her 80th birthday. Yeah.
She must have died quite young then, really.
Yes, she did.
Yeah. Delia Derbyshire Day has been awarded £42,600, that's $53,000, to help organise a programme of activities and events to celebrate 80 years since the birth of the woman who realised the original Doctor Who theme music composed by Ron Grainer. And I have to frankly say, it's one of my favourite pieces of music of all time.
Sorry, hang on.
I'm talking about the theme music we're hearing now in the John Pertwee era and right the way up to Tom Baker is my favourite version of the theme tune.
Definitely.
And I also quite like the fact that they incorporated that version of the theme tune into the original when Doctor Who came back. Obviously it was orchestrized, but you could hear parts of that arrangement in the Eccleston and Tennant version.
Yeah, I like that too, that they did that. Tune.
Why they decided to do away with the little callback to it, Moffat, that's all I can say about that.
And did you, everybody, see the Missy, the post of Missy painting the TARDIS?
Yeah, that was cool.
Was that not?
By the way, I think that indicates that we're going to have Missy in the new series.
I hope so.
We haven't seen anything of her in the trailers.
But
it says look who's back, so.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, there's some Lethbridge Stewart novellas coming up. Now, I'm not going to read them out, but there are, if you like, the idea of some novels about the brig, they are available. And like I said, I did allude to the fact that Who Won have got the Doctor Who magazine 509 with the Doctor and Noddle on the cover. And it says also on that front cover, the original Master is back, brand new comic adventure. So if you get that, you get to see the Delgado Master in comic form. Oi, oi, there's no need for that. There's also, I don't know if I read this last time, I probably did, but the timeline to series 11. We already discovered that it's likely to be in the autumn of 2018. And then when I said that, yes. Kirby stifled a few tears. But it doesn't matter. It's coming back. We're going to have a Doctor Who series in 2018. So not a lot of news. Will you stop fiddling with your microphone?
April 15th this year.
Pardon?
The new series for this year starts April 15th. I don't think we've mentioned the date yet.
Oh, really? How did you find the date?
They said it.
Did they?
Okay.
Right,
Yeah.
When is it, Kirby?
April the 15th.
Is that on BBC One?
Yes, and BBC America.
Right, I'm going to put that in my... I'm going to put that on my calendar, because obviously that means that the journey will grind to a temporary halt on the 15th. I'm on holiday! Woohoo!
It says on the news that the 13th Doctor... will start in the autumn of 2018. So
I wouldn't say start, because I think it's very likely he's going to start at the Christmas special.
Waiting all the way until, you know, the autumn of next year.
He'll probably start at Christmas.
Yeah, I would imagine it will start at Christmas. So I imagine that would be his first episode, unless they're going to keep Capaldi back until, you know, his regeneration, his first episode of 2018. But he did say
I've seen them say that the regeneration will be in the Christmas story.
Yes, I think that's what they tend to do now, isn't it? Yes, so he starts at Christmas.
It'll be the first ever Christmas regeneration.
No.
No, it'd be the third. Essentially.
Second, I think.
Well, there was a bit of regeneration. It was a recap regeneration in the Christmas special involving Tennant's first story.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. But that was not.
And 11 to 12 was definitely in the Christmas story.
Yep. Yeah. 11 to 12. Yeah. No. Well, no, there was the Tennant to Tennant wasn't, was it? That was the end of a general, was it? But then Tennant to Smith was a Christmas special.
Mm.
New Year, but essentially Christmas.
That was New Year.
It wasn't Christmas.
It was the first part of that Christmas story was in Christmas Day. The second part on New Year's Day, it was a Christmas special.
No, so it wasn't Christmas.
You pedantic person. It was at Christmas time. It was a special that was on. Oh, you awkward people.
11th hour? Let me look and see when 11th hour is.
Yeah, 11th hour was not a Christmas story.
No, it wasn't.
But that wasn't. 11th hour was the first episode with Smith as the Doctor. It wasn't his regeneration. Regeneration was End of Time Part 2, which was broadcast on New Year's Day.
Oh, you're right. Okay, he is technically correct.
Who is?
So it was New Year's Day then, wasn't it? What I'm
trying to say.
So the regeneration was not at Christmas.
So you're saying that when Tennant was going the I Don't Want to Go,
that was New Year's Day. That was a Christmas story, but it was broadcast on New Year's Day because the first part was on Christmas Day. But essentially it was during the Christmas season. It was a Christmas story, not a Christmas Day story.
No, it was not. Broadcast at Christmas Day.
Oh, stop it. Honestly. And, of course, we know that Smith to Capaldi was indeed on Christmas Day. Thank you very much. For me, it's that we've seen three Richard.
You're saying sometimes you're right, huh?
I am right. Honestly, I was just trying to cover over that Andy said that the regeneration we're going to see this year was the first time we see regeneration Christmas Day. Well, it obviously isn't right because we saw the Smith to Capaldi on Christmas Day. So that's definitely, we can't refute that. I said refute that. That is factually.
Yeah, and Andy's tried to say that before. He said it on the Facebook group a couple of weeks ago.
Did he? Was he wrong then as well?
He's still wrong.
Ooh.
Right. Speaking, by the way, did you see the other bit of news that we haven't really spoken of yet?
No, I didn't see the other bit of news that we haven't really spoken of
yet. Stephen Moffat says there's a chance the River Song will show up again.
Oh, yes, I forgot. Yes, I did hear about this. Yes.
Well, wait and see. Well, let's wait and see what happens.
How?
Let's wait and see what happens.
Wibbly wobbly, timey-wimey.
Yeah,
probably before she died, I would imagine. You've got to bear in mind, Kirby, she showed up in after the Doctor's death as a ghost, well, sort of ghost, from the library. So her consciousness is still in the library. So they could do anything with River. They could actually bring her out of the library somehow, because they brought all the other people from the library. They could actually bring her back. So, you know, and that would make the Doctor happy, wouldn't it? What do you think?
Well, look, like they brought back the Master.
Yeah. She's River Song. She's.
I think that she should be the next Doctor.
Oh, no.
Well, no, the next Doctor is still going to be a guy. So.
Yes, a 35 to 40 year old white male.
Yes, and I think it should. I think it should be Aidan Thingamajig that plays Poldock, personally. I've already said this before. It won't happen.
Oh, stop leching, Adam.
What? I'm just thinking I want to attract some female viewers, because that's the reason why Doctor Who, that is why Doctor Who was popular during the RTD era, because people, women would watch it because of Tennant and actually think it's actually quite a good show. You know, that's why. I'm just being factful. That is actually the case, isn't it, Debbie?
I wish Eccleston had stayed a bit longer. He was brilliant.
Yeah, but he wasn't eye candy for the ladies, was he?
So.
What I'm saying is, if there's a bit of eye candy for the ladies as the Doctor, that will attract
very, very dishy.
That will attract people that don't normally watch Doctor Who to watch it. Then we'll get more. They'll get more viewers, in my view. And he's a good actor.
We'll find out about August, I think.
He's a good actor. I think he would be good as the Doctor.
We'll find out in August.
I know we will. Will we? Yeah. Why August?
Yeah.
Oh, because they'll start filming it, you reckon?
Yeah. August, we'll find out. Okay.
I think they should keep it completely under wraps.
They can't.
Yeah, what they should do, Kirby, I'll come up with a theory of this. They should have maybe five actors that are in for the job, film the regeneration with all each five actor, and not reveal which of the actors got the job until they actually put it out on Christmas Day.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, but they won't. They won't.
Yeah, but people are so alert to who's going to the studio.
They won't. What we'll do is have another one. It's like we had with the Doctor Who Live. When Zoe Ball did the, you know, Capaldi has been presented.
Yeah, we'll get another one. That was so cheesy.
Yeah, we'll get another one.
We watched it live, though, and reported it live, remember?
Yeah, that was quite good.
We'll get that again.
Yeah.
We should actually try and sit down and watch an episode at the same time and just talk about it as we're going on.
That might be possible, because I'm... Well, one, the episode, the first
You guys could do it, but we can't.
No, we could do it. We could all have one set up and just sit and podcast together.
How?
Yeah,
we haven't seen...
Oh, no, I'm just saying in the future.
You mean a commentary episode like we did a couple of years ago?
We've done commentaries before.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Tough.
When did you do a commentary before?
When we made sure that you were out of the building, Mary.
It's a long time ago.
That was very smart.
Oh, dear. I can't remember what story's next.
Curse of Peladon?
Oh, yeah. I should remember that. Yeah. So, listeners, viewers, next week is the Curse of Peladon. It's a four-part story. So, again, we should.
We do it in just one week.
We should be able to do it next Sunday.
Okay.
It's four.
Yep, I'm just making sure I've got nothing on next Sunday. Bear with me. I'm just checking my...
Look, Adam, the thought of you nothing on, I don't want to think about that.
Next Sunday, we're going to be doing the Curse of Peladon, because the week after that is the League Cup final, and I'm going to be quite miserable. So I won't be doing a show that Sunday, because I'll be extremely grumpy. But other than that, yeah.
Okay, so we're doing a show. Sure.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Adam's doing a show with nothing on. Okay, fair enough.
Shut up. Right, so next week.
Make sure that... Go ahead. Well, I need to remind you to put a date to one side.
19th of February is the Curse next of Peladon. Next Sunday.
7 o'clock.
Yeah, 7
all
o'clock.
Right, next Sunday.
The week after that, probably no. It's League Cup final. I'm going to be grumpy. And also, we've got to watch a six-part story that week.
Yeah, and I'm on call, so I probably wouldn't be here anyway.
Okay, that brings us back.
Next week in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so there'll be a two-week gap between the 19th and the 5th. When there is a bridal show on the 5th, but I should still be able to do a podcast that day. But anyway, we've timed this rather well. The BAFTAs start in 25 minutes time, yes?
Just be sure to be available on the 19th of March.
The 19th of March. Oh yes. And you've got you've got an alcohol ban that day. You're going to have the... what can we do for the 19th?
Are you saying
I have a problem with alcohol? Is that what you're trying to
say? No, you have a problem with alcohol when it comes to convention podcasts. Yes?
Wasn't there a very serious discussion last time about whether or not we actually let Andy on the next one?
I resemble that remark.
Yeah, so Andy's on probation, and that probation means no alcohol, no... but you've got to bear in mind, the last time he was on the show, it wasn't alcohol, it was medication. Hopefully you've not gotten any medication.
It was a serious operation last time.
So, yes.
We will have Sophie and Fraser and Colin Spowell. And
waiting in another room and while we wait around for them not to turn up. Yes, I know, Kirby. Yeah.
Master.
Yes.
That happens at... Con Casterbrus.
I know it does, but me winding you up happens right now.
Yes.
Right, so
I have more control over the guests.
So what you're saying is I can't get pissed next week.
Not next week. Well, I'd rather you didn't. But no, we're talking specifically about the Con GT link up on the 19th of March.
When?
19th of March.
Right, okay.
Right, we're going to have... You know, you've got that thing we call in January. What is it? What they call it is when you're alcohol-free
dry
in January.
Dry January, yeah.
Dry. Well, it's going to be dry 19th of March. It's a new day that's just been brought out. Nobody's allowed to drink any alcohol on the 19th of March.
It's almost like you don't trust me, Adam,
isn't
it?
We don't.
I've had too many traumatic experiences at convention
link-ups. I've already had them put us in at our standard time.
What's 8?
Which is
7 p.m.
Oh, that's all right. Okay, good. Right. Splendid. Okay. That's splendid, isn't it, everybody? Splendid.
It's 1 p.m. 1 p.m. There.
Brilliant.
It's wonderful. Okay. It's marvelous.
By the way, everybody, Curse of Peladon is a breath of fresh air. Right, so, that's what I think.
I've never seen it. That
do
should
enjoy
be interesting.
It's so funny. Well, it's not meant to be funny, but it's just...
I was going
to
say, you mean deliberately funny?
No, it's just lovely. I love it. I'll tell you why I love it after we watched it, but it's something... I mean, I remember having not seen it before and then watching it in one of my previous journeys, which I used to do on my own before the kids were born, and having watched this story new, I absolutely loved it as a new... never seen it before story, so I like to, you know, I remember the ones I liked the first time I saw them, and this is one of them.
Since I haven't seen either of the Peladon stories, isn't the second one supposed to be rubbish?
I don't think it's rubbish. It's not as good as the first one. It's too long for a start, because this works quite well, because the fact that it's a four-part story, the other one is six parts, but obviously it can't be completely bad because it's got Elizabeth Sladen in it, and Elizabeth Sladen lights up the screen whatever episode she's in, so even if it's a bad one, it becomes a good episode because of her. But anyway, that's it. So, as I say, come back next week, everybody. We'll be the same time, same place.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to the show. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.